it's been a while since we've seen him. I mean, I know he died, right?
No, he's not dead. He's alive.
Who am I thinking of? I don't know who you're thinking of. Oh, wait. No, who's okay. Dead? I got it.
Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing. Not so much this week, but lots and lots of Bollywood boys.
There's definitely singing. Like, it's not so much like the characters are singing, but music is an important part of this story.
That is so true. Thank you for reminding me, because there is a scene that I adored.
Yeah.
That we'll talk about.
I'm sure we will. I bet I could guess already. Yeah.
We are talking about the first half of Guns and Gulabs.
Yeah.
Episodes 1 through 4.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear what you think of this show so far.
Yeah. Well, just to give you an overview, I love it.
Great.
I'm so into it. I was very sad when I hit the end of the 4th episode and I was like, I have to stop because we're going to record the second half later.
I wondered if you were going to, hold yourself to that. Okay. Good for you.
And I am. And it actually feels like a really good midway point.
Yeah, so, I agree.
So that's okay. But somewhere around like episode 2, maybe, I was just like, this is everything I want. Like, I don't know if we've actually talked about my love of gang shows on the podcast, but I love gangs, like drug runners, not in real life, but I like the politics involved with it.
Yeah.
I also like a dark, violent thing. Mm-hmm. So this is also pretty gory.
It is, yeah.
And I also just really love dark comedy.
It's such a good dark comedy. Yes.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
For like reasons that are awful.
And also reasons that are delightful. And that are fun. Really, I'm so glad that you are enjoying it. I feel exactly the same way. It does that, the Bollywood thing of being a little bit of everything, and it does it so well. Like, there's sweet romance that you can just like, oh, that's so nice. And then there's also like, there's tension and the politics of the, the drugs and the cops and all of this stuff. And I will say, I can get behind a good gang show too, but I do find that some of the more popular ones out there, I would just like struggle to pay attention to. Because usually when I'm watching TV, that's in English, I'm watching it with half my mind. And so I would just get confused about what was going on. But I like that these politics are all pretty straightforward.
That is very true. Yeah. I also like, it's so interesting because we don't really have opium in, I mean, obviously we have opium.
We have
in the
United opioids,
States.
Yeah, but not.
Yes, but we don't really grow opium.
Right.
So it's been interesting kind of getting that side of like the drug trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just good storytelling.
It's such good storytelling. Yes.
Like, I love that. I love when you're able to take all of these people who at the beginning are seemingly unconnected and then you're weaving them together. And I was like, oh my God, what do you even call that? I was like, it's good storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
It's an ensemble cast. I love a show or a movie that does an ensemble cast well, where everybody's bringing their A game. There's not a weak link to be found. And the dialogue is also so good. Like, every character feels so distinct in not just their performance, but in their writing. And I just love it. And I do think it's worth mentioning now, if you didn't already know this, that it has been renewed for a second season.
Good.
Yeah.
So I think in my head, I was like, okay, this might just be like a mini series.
Yeah.
A TV show.
Yeah. I had wondered that too when it came out. Because that's kind of the popular thing to do on streaming services, is like you do kind of a limited series. But yeah, no, they are going to do at least one more season, which is awesome.
Very exciting.
I know we said this last week, but the show was created and directed by Raj and DK, who are phenomenal.
Apparently.
Yeah. And it was written by Sumit Arora and Suman Kumar. So we have Rajkumar Rao as Tipu. He looks great.
I did make a note that I want his hair to look like this all the time.
His hair is gorgeous. Just, it's like, flowing.
Beautiful. Flowing, like, the waves. I just, it really accents his face nicely. Like, yep. Yep.
And speaking of beautiful hair, Dulquer Salmaan as Arjun.
Yep, yeah. Beautiful nose, beautiful lips.
Beautiful mustache.
Yep.
Adarsh Gaurav as Jugnu.
Yes, his character. Ugh.
Really, yeah, like, makes you feel so dirty.
Like, so dirty, and also he's so funny at times, because you're just, like, you're this incompetent, privileged kid who, like, thinks he's a gangster but isn't actually, like, capable of doing that.
No.
Until suddenly you're like, oh, God, maybe I am.
Yeah. Yeah, he is very much just kind of bumbling and following his father in ways that are embarrassing and hard to watch at times. But I also like that, you know, the two things that we've seen Adarsh Gaurav in are this and White Tiger. And I like that in this he's playing exactly the kind of person that in White Tiger he would have been like, this guy.
Like, yeah. Yeah. No, it is human. It is funny because you see, like, the competence of White Tiger versus whatever you want to call this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, yeah, there are scenes with him and women that make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there are so many things that I'm looking forward to you finding out about these characters. I also want to mention TJ Banu, who plays Lekha, and Satish Kaushik, who plays Ghanshi Sr., and, of course, Gulshan Devaya, who plays Amtaram, the assassin. Did you recognize him?
I recognized him, but not in any specific way. It was just I've definitely seen your face before.
So he might have been in other things that we've seen, but the big one is he's the guy who Rajkumar Rao ends up with in Budhai Do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fun film.
It is a fun film, and he was great in that, and he's great in this too.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, everyone brings their A game. I do want to say one thing without giving any spoilers. If if there are people listening who have seen through to the end who think that one of the ways that I am going to refer to a character in the recap feels insensitive, then just know that I'm doing it because I don't want to spoil anything for Katie.
Ooh, okay.
So just going to throw that out there.
That was a very well-phrased thing.
Thank you. Any other thoughts you'd like to share before the plot?
I think that's it.
Okay, great. I do want to do a really quick, like, course correction moment here, because in going back and listening to last week's episode for Boggy 2, I realized that in my research, at a few points, I referred to indigenous people of India, when what I really meant were people who lived in India at the time that the British and then the Portuguese colonized India. And I just wanted to make sure to make that clarification, because I understand that indigenous is not the appropriate term to use to refer to all of those people who identify as Indians, and that indigenous would be a better term to apply to the people who are referred to as the tribal people in India. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, was my mistake, and was the word that I chose, that I should have chosen a different one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. But let's dive in here, because we've got a lot of ground to cover. So chapter one is entitled Inside Every Human is the Devil. And we open in a town called Gulab Gunj, where three boys are hanging out in a field.
Yeah.
And two of them are talking about how, you know, they're debating over who is more devoted to their beloved, the girl they have a crush on. And they end up competing with one another by cutting and also burning names of their beloved crushes into their arms, but they only make it to the first two letters.
I was just like, this is just like boys will be boysing all over the place.
Absolutely. Just in a big way. And one of the boys burning a name into his arm is Gangu, and then the third boy who's doing neither of those things is Nanu. I don't know what the third boy's name is. But so Nanu and the other boy, they leave Gangu. He's just kind of hanging out in this field. And then he sees a man run by, followed shortly thereafter by a group of men chasing this man. And then a final man who just kind of casually strolls along, lights a cigarette, goes on his way.
Scariest thing you can ever do.
So scary. Just so chill. Doesn't even care. Gangu sees these men exchange gunfire, the man getting chased gets shot, and then the strolling man comes up to him and slices him four times, and the man falls down to the ground, seemingly dead.
Yes.
So all the other men leave, and Gangu approaches the dying man and helps him to smoke one last cigarette, and then the dying man whispers something in his ear.
I really do feel like that sets the tone for the whole show. Because first of all, I was like, oh my god, this is gory. Like, gorier than you might expect from a Hindi language.
Absolutely.
Anything.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it's like, he puts the cigarette in his lips and smoke comes out of his neck wound. And I was like, oh, I love this. I love how sick and dark this is.
I really, like, everything before the opening credits, you're like, this is the adventure I'm going on and I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But so then after those opening credits, we are at the funeral for the dead guy, whose name is Babu Tiger. And Babu Tiger's son, Tipu, Rajkumar Rao, is there, but he's not super broken up about his dad's death.
No.
Unfazed. And then a fancy car pulls up to the group of mourners, and a man named Ganji gets out. And Ganji is the main gangster in Gulab Gunj, and Babu Tiger used to work for him. And so he and his son Jugnu go up to talk to Tipu about joining their gang, but Tipu says that he is not interested in following in his father's footsteps. He wants to just live his simple life as a mechanic.
Yes.
And so we then follow Ganji and his crew away from this scene as they discuss how, of course, Babu Tiger was killed right as they were about to coordinate this really big drug deal. And they suspect the rival gang in the neighboring town of Sherpur as being behind it. And that gang is led by a man named Nabeed.
Yes.
And, like, right away through all of this, we see Jugnu, like, being established as just this very awkward, like, poser of a gangster, like we were saying. He's just, like, copying everything his dad does, but in, like, a much less intimidating or impactful way. So we then cut to a handsome mustachioed man driving through the mountains and singing along with a cassette tape. And this is Arjun, and he quickly realizes that the tape he is listening to is some kind of remix of the song that he wanted, and he gets annoyed, so he ejects the tape, chucks it out the window. Without a thought, and then puts in a new tape. He's a purist when it comes to Hindi film music. So Arjun, he has just arrived in town. He's the police station's new head of narcotics. And he asks his new right-hand man, Ram Prasad, to find him the original cassette from this movie so he can listen to it in peace. So then we go back to Ganji, and he is meeting with a man named Sukanto. There's a lot of names in this show.
There are a lot of names, and it's funny. I was sitting here as we were starting, and I was like, do I actually know everyone's name? And I don't. But
that's okay. Well, that's why I'm glad that I'm doing the plot for this half, because I can, like, I'll say the names a bunch, so hopefully they'll stick. They'll rattle around in my brain.
Yeah, like, I couldn't have told you what Gaurav's character is. Name was
Well, they also never call him that. They always call him Chotu or Chote, which is they're very because
and, like, don't get me started on the like the teens, like,
I know.
It's
also the thing where, like, everyone's got their full name, but then they've got their nickname that they go by. It's like a Russian novel up in here,
right? Yeah.
But so, yeah, Ganji's meeting with Sukanto. Sukanto is there representing a gang from Calcutta. And Ganji is promising that he can deliver a big supply of opium to Sukanto's gang, but Sukanto has doubts about whether Ganji can actually pull this off. But ultimately, they agree to the deal, and Ganji has until the end of the month to deliver the goods, or this very dangerous Calcutta gang is going to unleash their wrath upon Gulabgunj. It's very threatening.
Yeah.
So we next see Tipu at work, and he's at the mechanic shop where he works. And his favorite customer arrives with a flat tire. Mm-hmm. And this is Leka, and she tells Tipu that she was very sorry to hear about his dad's death, and that she always liked Babu Tiger because he once roughed up some boys who were harassing her. So she's like, he had a good heart, despite being kind of a villain. And Tipu seems to momentarily forget about his father's death in Leka's presence.
Yeah.
He is fully in love with her and finds her very distracting, but she clearly does not really reciprocate those feelings. It's a little bit of a one-sided crush.
I kind of secretly hope she does, you know, in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, she probably at least thinks he's handsome, because how would she not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When she leaves, Tipu discusses his love for her with his friend Sunil, and they decide...
Oh, Sunil.
I know. Sweet, sweet Sunil.
Sunil's whole... Yeah. His whole thing and his brother.
His brothers. I really like that Sunil is clearly also in love with Leka, but, like, really invested in Tipu and Leka getting together so that he can, like, be a third... component of their relationship.
Right. It's very, like, very sweet and genuine. Yeah,
it's fascinating. So anyway, the two of them are talking, and Sunil is telling Tipu to reveal his feelings to Leka, but says that he should do it in English because she's an English teacher. She's an educated woman, so to show that Tipu is also an educated man. But neither of them really know any English. But Sunil says he has a plan. We then shift to the school, where we see the boys from the start of the movie, Nanu and Gangu and their friends. And Nanu is the class topper. He's the valedictorian. But he's not great at kind of keeping the class in check. Everyone's pretty rowdy. So the teacher comes in and yells at him, but then introduces a new student, Jyotsna, who I'm going to call Joe. And she is... adorable.
Precious. Yeah.
She strolls in like a little sweater and high-waisted jeans with her hair up in a bow.
She looks great.
She looks fabulous. Everyone else in the room is in uniform and she's just in this adorable outfit. And Nanu is just immediately love-struck. Just gone in a moment.
Yes. Oh, Nanu.
Yep. Oh, so cute.
And my sweet, sweet boy.
I really love Nanu. I love the way he, like, holds his head forward always. Like, just the way he carries himself is so cute, so sweet.
Oh, my God. He's so sweet compared to, like, his friends,
too. I know. But I'm excited for you to see what happens with that whole gang. But so then we go back to Arjun, and he is being shown around the local opium factory. But then his superior, Mishra, pulls Arjun aside and tells him that, you know, there's a system here in Gulabgunj.
Mm-hmm.
And we had previously seen that Mishra is in with Ganji's gang. He's, like, on the take, clearly. So we know what he's getting at here, and so does Arjun.
He's not being very subtle about it.
He's not being subtle at all.
I like that, like, Arjun is, like, kind of playing dumb a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely is. And he's, like, kind of matching Mishra's giving this very, like, fake, like, camaraderie thing of, like, you get it. And Arjun's like, sure. Like, he's kind of giving it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, like, very clear that once Mishra's gone, he's just like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
But then we cut back to Nanu, who is listening to an English cassette. I also love this. I think it was supposed to be, like, in the early 90s is when this is all happening. Mm-hmm. But so I love all the cassette players and things.
Yeah. And also just all of, like, the rock love ballads.
Yeah. Yes.
So good.
he's enjoying some English music, and he is writing a letter on a piece of paper that he has strategically sprayed with some of his sister's perfume, Pink Mamba. Pink Mamba is a huge part of this story.
Apparently, yeah. Also, yeah, just, like, foreigner.
Yeah.
Love it.
Just vibing. And then Gangu comes up and is there with Nanu. He's taking the letter from Nanu because Tipu's friend Sunil has hired these two teenage boys to write an English love letter that they are then going to give to Leica. But the boys don't know who the letter is for, so they don't actually write in, like, Dear Leica. They just leave that blank. So Gangu takes the letter to Tipu's shop, and they're very pleased. They don't know, they can't read the letter, but they do see that the word love appears multiple times. And also it smells nice, so that's enough for them. And so Gangu offers to write in the name of the woman who's receiving the letter. And so Tipu says, oh, I call her Leica, but her full name is Chandralekha. Yeah. And Gangu is like, is that the Chandralekha who teaches at our school? And they're like, yeah, that's her. That's the one. And he's hold on a second. And he takes the letter back. He's like, I'm going to bring this back to my friend so the handwriting matches. Like, I'll bring it back to you, you know, in a day or whatever. But in the next scene, we're back at the school, and we see that it is, in fact, Leica, the teacher who Gangu is in love with. That is whose name he started to write on his arm.
Like, I understand a schoolboy having a crush on his teacher, but it's also so frustrating because it's like, you definitely don't have a chance with her.
Yeah, you have to understand that this is not going to happen. And like, if it did, it would be bad.
Right, but, like, this grown-up man might actually have a chance with her.
But no, he's a little too delusional for that in this moment. So we then get a scene where Ganji finds out from his right-hand man, Mahendra, that Babu Tiger was killed by the rival gang, as they suspected, and they actually hired a contract killer named Atmaram to do the job. And Atmaram, they say, is famous for two things. One, his four-cut killing style, which... Yeah. quote-unquote, purifies the soul, and the fact that he seemingly can't die and is rumored to have seven lives, although I think more accurately, he's fated to survive seven deaths. It's an important distinction there.
Okay.
We then see Tipu give Leica the letter. He basically, like, chases her down the street and then hands her this piece of paper and then runs away.
I love it. That's so real.
These are just, like, this is the kind of character that Rajkumar Rao is just, like, born to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, like, a very lovable kind of a loser.
Mm-hmm.
But Leica is so disgusted upon reading the letter that she follows him, she throws it back in his face, and she tells him to never speak to her again. And so Tipu is like, wow, that did not go well. Yeah. Did not go as planned. Meanwhile, Arjun arrives back home, and his home life is just a scene of domestic bliss.
Yeah, I love his wife.
He has a beautiful wife who's just kind and ambitious in her own right. She's fabulous. He like walks in and starts chopping vegetables for her. And then Joe, the cute new girl from school, walks in. Turns out she's his daughter. And they have a very cute teasing relationship, and he like sits down and gives her an English novel that she's excited about reading. It's just clear that this family like loves each other and cares about each other in like a deep and real way.
Oh, they're so great.
But then But then the phone rings and and Arjun's wife is like, yeah, it's been ringing all day. And when I pick it up, there's nobody there. So this time Arjun answers and a woman's voice asks, miss me?
Oh, I hate it.
I know. And he hangs up the phone and immediately tells his wife that there was no one there. But later we do see him go to a hotel room and meet up with a woman who opens the door and tells him he's looking good, which is true.
Always. Always.
Is always accurate. So we then cut to a dhaba, which I learned from this show is a term for a roadside restaurant, like food eatery kind of a place.
Yeah, I love this situation.
This is a wild place where it's like partway between Sherpur and Gulab Gunj, and there's
right on the border.
There's literally a line drawn down the middle of the because the tensions between these two towns and these two gangs is so high that they have to be fully separated from one another.
Yeah, you get served, like, I like that it went even, like, through the bar.
Yeah.
Like, the bartender has to move. They have to sit on different sides but can still, like, see each other.
Right, and talk to each other.
Yeah.
Because what we see happen, so Jugnu, Ganji's son, is here with his best friend, Nirmal. And Nirmal is telling Jugnu that he's about to get married, and Jugnu is teasing him, and he's like, what could you possibly get out of marrying a woman that you couldn't get out of just being best friends with me?
Uh-huh.
And there are guys from the Sherpa gang who overhear this comment, and so they start to make some lewd remarks, and this mm-hmm. ultimately ends up leading to a big fist fight. So the yeah. line clearly doesn't always do the job.
No.
But so Jugnu, he just kind of excuses himself from the fight, and he goes and he dumps the rest of his drink into one of the Sherpa guy's motorcycle gas tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Tipu, meanwhile, he's back at the mechanic shop. He's just weeping over Leika and, yeah. and what has gone awry in their relationship. And then the Sherpa guys, they roll up with their motorcycle, which not doing great since it's got beer or whatever in the gas tank. And so Tipu agrees to look at the bike and he's checking things out when one of the guys recognizes him as being Babu Tiger's son. And so he starts to taunt Tipu. He's like, I was there when he died. I saw Amtaram do the four cut thing. And blah, blah, blah. And Tipu is like, all right, you guys got to get out of here. But this guy just, he won't let up. He's getting up in Tipu's face. So Tipu just takes the wrench he's holding.
Yeah.
Just jams it right into the guy's eye socket. The guy falls to the ground immediately dead.
Yeah. And this was when I was like, okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Tipu's storyline is not going to be what I thought it was.
Nope, he's got an edge to him. I do love that you said you hadn't even watched the trailer for this, because this moment yeah. is in the trailer, so I feel you really did go into this fully blind, which is awesome.
I loved it. Yeah.
But so then the second man flees, but Tipu chases him and stabs him through the eye socket with the wrench.
Well, yeah, you can't let a witness live.
You really can't, yeah. And then the theme music plays as Tipu stumbles off into the night, and that is the end of chapter one.
Yeah.
Welcome to Guns and Gulabs.
Love it.
We then start chapter two, Everything I Do It For You. Great mm-hmm. song. Yeah. And I definitely remember slow dancing to that in my
God,
time.
It's like, well, Bryan Adams yeah. and his, like, dulcet tones.
Yeah. Everything I do.
I do it for you.
Oh, it's great.
So good.
We'll get to that, though. So this episode starts with Tipu and Sunil dumping one of the bodies of the Sherpa guys. And basically, like, they're on the motorcycle with the dead guy just, like, yeah. wrapped up, like, between them.
Like, so casually, though. Like, Sunil's just like, hey, man, like, why'd you do this?
Yeah. I now thought we have you to were dump going... his body.
Yeah. I also loved that, like, there was no real crisis for Tipu, you mm-hmm. know? It wasn't like, oh my God, I murdered a man. Who am I? It's like, oh, well, all right.
Whoops. My hand slipped, yeah. I'm
moving on.
But they do only manage to dump one of the bodies, I guess, because they couldn't carry two bodies on the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So the other body does get discovered in the middle of town.
Yeah.
And so then we see Amtaram, this contract killer who murdered Babu Tiger. He's in Sherpa. He's vibing. He buys a talisman off of a street performer.
Yep.
He is evil, but I do really enjoy his character.
I like his whole air. Yeah. Because, yeah. again, he's, like, aloof and doesn't care. And right. he's good at what he does.
Yeah. You don't know what he's thinking. He's got the mullet. It's just a whole thing.
Yep.
But so then we see the rest of Arjun's encounter with the woman he went to meet at the hotel. This woman's name is Yamini. And what we come to find out, he was clearly having an affair with her. We could have guessed mm-hmm. that from the phone call situation. So she was back in Delhi, which is where he came to Gulab Gunj from. And she's here to blackmail him, essentially.
Yeah.
And she gives him a phone number to call to get instructions for what to do to get the blackmailing to stop. But Arjun, he doesn't play those kind of games, so he just burns the piece of paper.
What a move.
This man makes a lot of moves.
He does, yeah. And it's like, whoa, where are we going?
I know. That's great. Ganshi and Mahendra, they go to meet with Arjun at the police station. They want to strike up a deal with him the same way they've got a deal with Mishra. They want to kind of get him to turn a blind eye on all their drug-related shenanigans. But Arjun is just like, you know, I'm a simple man. I don't really need anything from you guys. I got my roof over my head, got my family, I'm pretty happy, mm-hmm. so just no thanks.
And they're like, well, but what if, you know, you need something? Yeah. I love how matter of fact he is, like, as if he's been offered to be bribed, like, many times in his life.
I do feel like you could have read Arjun either as, like, a super competent cop or, like, a super dumb cop who doesn't pick up on things. Like, sort of depending on how you played it, like, with the way he's written.
That's true.
But I feel like with the way DQ plays it, it's just this very cool confidence.
Yeah.
Just, like, I don't need that.
He's like, I see what you're doing and I'm not going to acknowledge it. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so he turns them down, sends them on their way. Tipu then goes to Ganshi because Sunil has instructed him to seek protection from Ganshi's gang. And his reputation precedes him. Everyone is already aware that he was the one who killed the Sherpur guys with the wrench. And Ganshi is like, yeah, we'll give you protection, like, good job with that. Do you want to come work for me? And Tipu's still like, nope, not into that, just need the protection from the police. And there is also a moment in this scene, importantly, where Ganshi, there's some men working on some stairs.
God. Yeah, you just know. You just know.
And there's an exchange that basically establishes that Ganshi has paid for the cheap wood for these stairs. This is Chekhov's staircase, that classic literary device. Next, we go back to the school where Leka is announcing to Nanu and Gangu's class that Jo, our new girl, she has actually beat out Nanu on their exams, even though she's a new student. So she is now the class topper.
Yeah.
And Leka calls Nanu forward to give Jo his pin.
Yeah.
And he's, like, just clearly in a little bit of shock about this. Yeah.
It's so sad. Well, and then I also had the thought of, like, can you imagine being, like, a 13 or 14-year-old boy and being like, okay, I have to put this pin on this girl's sweater?
I know. I thought that, too. And Leica does, like, grab it from him and put it on her.
Like, thank God.
That would have been so weird. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Okay, so we go back to Tipu, and he's still obsessing about the letter and Leica's rejection. He's like, why was she so mean to me? She could have just said no. She didn't have to, like, throw it back in my face. And so Sunil takes the letter, and he looks it over, and he realizes that the word love is nowhere to be found, and also, it no longer smells of pink mamba.
Yeah.
So clearly this is the wrong letter. And so they bring it to their coworker, who does know English, and he reads it to them, and it's basically just one very blatant sexual overture.
Yeah.
That ends, this is my favorite thing, that ends with telling Leica to get a copper IUD for her birth control.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that this teenage boy knows about birth control.
Absolutely. They must have just talked about IUDs in health class or something. Mm-hmm. Tipu and Sunil then track down Gangu and Nanu, and Gangu confesses his crime of switching out the letters and also confesses his love for Leica, which everyone's a little bit confused by, but here we are. So Tipu and Sunil effectively kidnap the boys so they can force Nanu to write a new letter. It's a low-key kidnapping. They do also lightly torture Gangu by making him stand against the wall with his arms in the air.
So I wrote that this was so funny because I was like, oh, they've tied up his hands. Oh, like, he's tied up as they're getting Nanu to, like, write the letter. And then at one point, Tipu is like, hey, go do this thing. And then he just, like,
puts his hands down
and walks away. And I was like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Like, he was just standing like that.
It's, you know, it's really not a bad idea because it's like, no. It gets uncomfortable. Yeah, so Nanu is trying to write another love letter, but he says he can't do it without like the English music to inspire him.
To give him the ambiance.
Exactly. They got to get the right vibe. Nanu or Tipu does try to sing a little bit to help, but he's like, no, it's got to be English. So they send Gangu to Nanu's house to get the cassette player and, of course, the all-important bottle of Pink Mamba. We then quickly...
I'm sorry, I love it.
I know, it's great. We then quickly cut back to Arjun. He and Ram Prasad are going to look at one of the poppy farms, but we learn from this scene with the two of them that the two rival gangs, Ganshi in Gulab Gunj and Nabid in Sherpur, they pay some of these farmers many times what the government pays for their, like, raw opium. And they end up with 3/4 of the opium that is produced in this area. And then only the product that is grown by the smaller farms goes to the government.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. Pretty sweet deal for the gangs.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Gangu returns with the cassette player. He also remembers in this moment that Babu Tiger had given him a message for Tipu. This has come up a couple times before, but he, at this point, refuses to deliver that message to Tipu, saying, one, that he forgot what it is, and two, even if he remembered, he would not tell Tipu what the message was.
What a little teenage jerk.
I know. He is a little teenage jerk with his little mustache. Oh, my gosh. I do actually really like the character of Gangu, and I can't wait to just, But we get this really nice moment where they're all just, like, lost in this Bryan Adams song.
It's hilarious.
It's so great. Like, the sun is setting. Everyone's just kind of staring into the middle distance as Nanu writes the letter.
Well, and I like, too, that, like, Tipu and Sunil, like, they don't know what the words are. No. They're just like, it just was so nice.
He's
and I'm
good.
Like, yeah, that's Bryan Adams for you.
Yeah. It's the power of music. It defies language. So Nanu gives Tipu the letter. Tipu then goes and finds Leka and gives her the letter and explains what happens. And she is understanding, but she also says that she is just, she's not interested in romantic love with him. She says that he is a simple guy and she wants more from life than what he can give her. She wants much more than this provincial life is essentially what we're getting at.
Basically, yeah. Although I was then like wondering, she didn't specify what she wanted. And I'm like, you're an English teacher. Like, what are your ambitions? You know?
Yeah. She's an interesting character to dissect, and the things that start to happen here with her feelings are interesting.
Yes.
And say a lot about her.
Yeah. And it's just, I kind of am like, you know, if you just wanted to, like, teach at a university one day or something, I feel like you'd say that. So I'm just like, do you want to be rich? Do you want to have, like, power? What's going on?
What does it mean to you to want the sky? Because that's what she says. She wants the whole sky.
We'll find out, I guess.
We'll find out. So then we go back to Arjun. He's leaving work that afternoon, and he is confronted by a man who he does not know, who asks him why he never called. So this man is clearly involved in this whole blackmailing thing. And he tells Arjun that someone important wants to meet with him. And he's also like, by the way, I left some pretty disgusting photos at your house for your wife to find. So Arjun runs off from this man and races back home. And he makes it there just in time to grab the envelope out of his wife's hands.
That was close.
It was super close. She's like literally about to pull the pictures out of the envelope. He grabs them, goes upstairs, burns the pictures.
Luckily.
Yes. Yeah. Later, we do see him make a call to set up a meeting with whoever his blackmailer is. We don't know at this point. But then we see Leka go to Tipu's shop, and she apologizes to him for kind of turning him down before. And there's just something a little bit different about her vibe in this conversation. She's just a little bit more kind of open in her body language. And she's like, hey, I heard a rumor about you killing some guys. And Tipu confirms this, and she, like, visibly gets a little, like, flustered. Like, I swear her pupils dilate.
Yeah, at this point I'm like, maybe she should see a therapist or something.
I do. I think it's really interesting the comment she makes about his dad and how she, like, she grew up, like, really liking that he protected her, and I think that she's into that.
She's like, if you can murder people, you can protect me.
Right. Yeah. Check that box.
It's not what I would have guessed for her character, which I think is what makes it so awesome.
Yeah. But so she asks him for the story. He tells her all the details. And when he's done telling the story, she's like, well done. Your dad would have been really proud of you. We then cut back to Ganshi, who is discussing the Calcutta deal with Mahendra and Jugnu. And he gets a little bit nasty with Jugnu for, like, not contributing to the planning at all. And also for, like, shaving his mustache and not drinking heavily enough. He's just, like, really down on poor Jugnu. I mean, Jugnu's not a very sympathetic character, but in this moment, you kind of feel for him. And Ganshi's like, all right, I have a plan. I know exactly how we're going to be able to pull this off. But first, I got to go pee. And, of course, he walks up the newly built staircase, and as he gets to the landing, it gives way beneath his feet, and he crashes to the pavement below.
Yep.
So that happens. And then...
Well, it got me thinking. I was like, oh my god, can that happen?
I mean, it could. It probably won't, though.
Oh my god. That's concerning.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Does not end well.
No. And speaking of things not ending well, Tipu and Sunil are then ambushed by Atmaram and his men as they are leaving the movie theater. I know, this is very sad.
It is real. Because I was like, oh god, Sunil's gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they try to run. They get separated from one another. Tipu gets away, but then he turns when he hears Sunil scream, and Sunil has been cornered. And Atmaram delivers his signature four-cut assault, and Sunil falls to the ground dead.
Yeah.
And Tipu runs from the scene crying. It's very sad.
That was like a friend who helped him bury a body.
Yeah.
Those are hard to find.
As a good friend, yeah. But so then, that's the end of chapter two. We're now up to chapter three. I swear on the graves of my parents. And this is the episode where I feel like we really see Jugnu's character come out. Like, up to this point, he's sort of been background. But now we're really getting to see what's going on with this guy, what makes him tick.
He's out of his father's shadow.
He is, yes. And maybe he should have stayed there.
Yeah.
The episode opens on Sunil's funeral. Tipu is looking down at Sunil's mourning family when two men who look exactly like Sunil appear at his shoulders.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
It's so funny. These are his identical triplet brothers. And they're like, man, he was so handsome. Like, no one in town looked like him.
And it's like, the delivery is so good.
So good. So funny. Just like such a ridiculous addition to this story.
Yeah. And then when they give Tipu like the photo and Tipu goes to like put his hand on Sunil's like face and then they have to move it.
It's like, no, he's this one. Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. Like unnecessary, but such a wonderful detail.
Exactly. Yeah. Unnecessary, but also like not unwelcome in any way.
No,
like, just,
not
like,
at all.
A fun, silly little bit of humor. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
But so then we cut to the hospital. Ganshi is now in a coma after his fall. And Mahendra is saying no one can find out about this. Jugnu is unconcerned. Arjun then arrives at a prison because he is being blackmailed by a man named Pratap, who was a cop back in Delhi with Arjun. Mm-hmm. But Pratap claims that he was framed for the crime that Arjun had him locked up for. And he says that, you know, there were the higher ups in the police force who should be the ones behind bars. But Arjun, all he cared about was getting his promotion. And so he pinned it all on Pratap. And so that is why Pratap is getting revenge. You know, he lost everything. His family abandoned him. And so hence the blackmail.
Yeah. I kind of want a prequel, you know?
I know. Yeah. It sounds like there was some interesting stuff that went down back in Delhi. Yeah. Another comment about DQ and his handsomeness, like just the way he sits, like he just sits.
Yeah.
Just the way he carries himself in this is just, it's so attractive.
The way he breathes.
The way he breathes. I do. Sometimes I like look at him and I blush. I can't like even look at this man. I'm like overwhelmed.
He's the only one that's ever made me blush, like talking about him. So I get it. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to handle. Anyway, Jignu's then over at his friend Nirmal's house, and this is the friend who recently got married, and Jignu is very, very creepy towards Nirmal's new wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does say, like, oh, I always thought Nirmal and I would be, like, single bachelors together, just doing our thing. And then he gets grabby with her. He grabs her hands. He kind of pulls back her veil. He's admiring a gift that Nirmal gave her. And he's like, man, you got her gifts, but not me? It's all a thing.
Now that we're stating these things in English, I'm like, yeah. Huh. Okay.
The dynamic here was definitely something that didn't fully hit me until later. I had seen the whole... Because this is definitely the kind of show where, like, you watch it a second, a third time, and you
catch and you get more out of it.
More stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because I definitely was only like, oh my god, he's being so creepy with her. But, okay. Yeah. All right. Socking this stuff away for later.
Starting to maybe pick up on some things, yeah. We then see Leka and Tipu have a heart-to-heart where Tipu says that he wants to be different from his father, but Gulab Gunj is bringing out the devil in him. Mm-hmm. And then we see Atmaram meet Nabeed, again, the head of the Sherpur gang. And Nabeed is annoyed because Atmaram still has not killed Tipu, as he has been assigned to do. And so he's like, I'll give you more men. You know, you got to keep tabs on Ganshi's gang for me. And then he's like, I wonder why Ganshi hasn't retaliated yet after all the stuff we've been doing.
That's
a good question.
Mm-hmm. I am confused as to why, like, Antaram didn't just run after Tipu, like, the night they killed Sunil, because they saw him.
Yeah. I think
they were like, he's right there.
I think he just got away before they could actually go after him.
Okay.
Because I mean, I think that's what we're supposed to believe narratively happened. Tipu definitely, like, looked pretty traceable, but.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
But so Atmaram, he leaves this conversation in a huff because he's like, this could have been a phone call. Although I don't think that that's true because we learn earlier that Atmaram does not like to be on the phone for longer than a minute. Like, he will hang up the phone at 59 seconds no matter what is being said.
That's so jerkish, but also I respect
it. It's a real power move. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to spend any more money on this call. One of Atmaram's men does follow Ganshi's goons as they're leaving the Daba, and they go to the hospital, and this guy pays off a nurse and finds out that Ganshi is in a coma. He tells Nabeed, so now everybody knows. Cat's out of the bag. Meanwhile, at school, Joe is running a much tighter ship as the class topper than Nanu ever did.
Yes, she is.
And Gangu is not pleased about it. He loudly meows.
Yeah, what?
What a choice. The whole class laughs. And the other boys are kind of getting in on the shenanigans, too. And so Joe, real power move, writes Gangu and Nanu's names on the board.
It's big Hermione energy.
Huge Hermione energy. Yes, absolutely. And it's a big deal that she just put, like, a former topper's name on the list. Like, that's a big deal. I don't know. I just think about, like, my time.
Oh, I would have felt like my world was ending.
Yeah. I would have
cried. If my
name
got put on the board for disciplinary action, oh, my God.
Yep. Yeah. Nanu and Gangu and their friend, they all are made to go and do wall sits. With her arms up, which is, again, an intense punishment.
Yeah.
But Gangu, as a result of getting in trouble, he decides to take revenge on Joe. And later in the episode, we see him graffiti a rude drawing of her on a wall. And Nanu is there. He doesn't participate in the drawing, but he also doesn't stop Gangu. So, not a great situation.
He's a quieter individual.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's hard to stand up to your friends. We learned that from Harry Potter, too.
Yeah. Very true.
So, oh my gosh, because he's Neville and she's Hermione. It's great. Okay. It's like, that's
your
ship?
One
of my OTPs,
I mean, Hermione shouldn't have ended up with Ron. We know this.
I have complicated feelings about that. Okay. We can get into that another time. Anyway, Tipu he decides that he's going to leave town. He doesn't like who he's mm-hmm. become. And so he gets on a bus, but he doesn't make it very far because he sees Admaram pass the bus riding on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And so Tipu gets off the bus and he goes straight to Ganshi's house. Of course, it is not Ganshi who he meets with, but Jugnu. Mm-hmm. And Jugnu tries to smoke a cigarette in front of Tipu, and he just ends up choking on it.
Yeah, and he's like, give me a real one.
They're like, that was a real one, bro. Like,
I just, it's like scenes like that too, that you're like, yeah, he's trying so hard to put on this performance to be this person, like this gangster, and he's so bad at it.
Yeah There's a scene later where he like finishes an entire like glass of whiskey and then his face is just like
Yeah,
it's so good. And yeah, Adarsh Gaurav plays this character so
he's
well.
He's so good. Mm-hmm.
But so Tipu says that he wants to get revenge for Sunil's death and to join the gang. But Jugnu is, of course, a jerk about this. And he's like, you couldn't even protect your friend. Like, why would we want you to come and join our gang? And then he's also like, it was Sunil's mistake to even be friends with you in the first place. Like, that's why he died. I know, it's really harsh. Poor Tipu. But he does ultimately agree to let Tipu join the gang, and he puts him in charge of protecting Ganshi at the hospital.
Yeah, I feel like that's a huge first assignment.
Yeah, Jugnu, as we've established, doesn't super care about his dad. Mahendra, though, he is like, maybe we should have a more senior gang member shadow Tipu, make sure he doesn't get into any trouble. So they assign Bunty the task. Now, I love Bunty. Bunty's one of my favorite characters.
I also really love Bunty. Yeah.
I did end up cutting a lot of moments with Bunty out of my notes, but I just want everyone to know how much I love him. Meanwhile, Nabeed's gang is taking full advantage of Ganshi being in the hospital and being out of the picture. They're going around and they're demanding product from all of the farmers in Gulabganj. So things are quickly spiraling out of control now that Ganshi is out of the picture. We then get a little bit of backstory about Nabeed and Ganshi, as Ramprasad is telling Arjun about Ganshi being in the hospital, and he explains that Ganshi took Nabeed in as a child and basically raised him as a son, until Jugnu was born, and it became clear that he was going to give the gang to Jugnu, his actual biological son, and not to Nabeed, and so Nabeed went off to start his own rival gang in Sherpur.
It's
basically the opposite of Dilwale.
Yes, I was like, this is such a classic story, and like, why can I not think of anything to compare it to? But you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Arjun hears about all of this, and, you know, his gears start turning, and he's like, this would be a really good time for someone to just take control of the whole drug operation, wouldn't it? And it would be.
And this is also, I'm just like, where are we going to go with his character?
I know, yeah, all over the
place. What's his plan? Because I feel like he has to have a plan.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't.
He's flying by the seat of his pants. Jugnu and Mahendra then find out that everyone knows that Ganshi is in this coma. So Jugnu is suspicious of the doctor. He decides that the doctor must have told everybody. So he goes to confront the doctor, who he finds asleep in his office. And so Jugnu picks up a glass pitcher and breaks it on the floor to wake him up. The doctor wakes up and he starts to really talk down to Jugnu. He's basically like, listen, I don't want to talk to you. I'll talk to Mahendra in the morning. Jugnu gets mad and he pushes the doctor to the floor, where he is impaled by a piece of broken glass through the throat and immediately killed. And so the goons who came to the hospital with Jugnu, they congratulate him for killing his first person as Jugnu vomits in the corner.
Like, obviously, it's not funny, but it is so funny.
It's so funny. It's, because that's also the end of the episode. Like, that's such a good end to an episode. And then we get to chapter 4, Deal or No Deal. Jugnu goes to Nirmal's house in the middle of the night and tells him about killing the doctor, and he says he doesn't know what he's doing, he feels so alone, and then he invites Nirmal to, like, come and stay with him for a few days. He's like, it'll be just like, you know, the good old days when we were in college, but Nirmal can't. He's like, I can't leave my wife, not doing that, bro.
Yeah. Oh. sometimes your friendships change when your friends get married.
It's true, yeah. You know, as much as you don't want it to, things happen. Mm-hmm. Arjun and Ramprasad, they then go to the Daba, and instead of choosing one side or the other, they drag one of the benches over to span the dividing line, and they have a seat. Tipu and Bunty are also there. And there's a moment where Tipu and Arjun lock eyes and kind of size each other up a little bit. And Ramprasad explains to Arjun that Tipu is, you know, this vicious killer who killed two guys with a wrench. And Arjun's like, you mean a screwdriver? And he's like, no, I mean a wrench.
And it's like, how? Like, you'd have to ask him.
With a lot of force. And Ramprasad also tells Arjun about Ganji's deal with the Calcutta gang. Ramprasad just knows about everything that's going on, which is great. You need one of those guys on the force. He tells him about this deal with the Calcutta gang, and he also gives Arjun a list of the farms that supply to Ganji's gang. Mishra, who's the dirty head cop guy, he then goes to Ganji's house to yell at Jugnu for killing the doctor. And Jugnu's like, it's no big deal. You can just cover for me. It's fine. And Mishra's like, what am I, a magician? Like, I can't make the fact that you murdered somebody disappear.
Yeah, especially when, like, a nurse saw them
pretty
immediately afterward.
It's going to be hard to get out of this one. But Mishra also advises that they back out of the Calcutta deal, but Jugnu refuses. And then he sets two of his goons to follow Mishra. Meanwhile, on her way to school, poor Joe sees the graffiti that Gangu drew of her on the wall, and all of the boys at school are teasing her. Except for sweet, sweet Nanu, who waits for her after school so that they can walk home together. But he sees on their way that Joe gets harassed, like, constantly on her walk home. She says that this happens every day. And Nanu asks why she doesn't tell her dad, and she's like, oh, well, I don't want to bother him with this. I can deal with it myself. And Nanu, again, just, like, so sweet and such a good, like, man supporting a woman, is just like, I'm really sorry. It really sucks that you have to deal with this. Like, you shouldn't have to deal with this. And she calls him her true friend in Gulabgunj. It's adorable.
Oh my god, it's so cute. And like, he's so in love with her. Oh my god. I love that, like, this such, like, innocent, sweet, like, young love is happening in the midst of all this, like, violence. It's great.
It's adorable. It's so perfect. We then see Tipu at the hospital. He's keeping an eye on Ganji and he's practicing his English. And then he sees Laika, and she has brought her father in for some tests, and Tipu uses his new clout as being a part of the gang to cut her father up in front of the line. And Laika is clearly very impressed by this. And so they go off, they have a little chat, and she asks him how his English is going, and he proudly recites the handful of words that he has learned. And then she gets called in to go and see her father, and so she says to Tipu, I'll see you around. And then Tipu turns to Bunty and is like, what does see you around mean? And Bunty's like, you know, the sea.
Around.
It's everywhere.
Oh, it's so good.
I just, and I love Bunty's facial expressions. He's just like, it's around. And then we next see Arjun conduct a raid on one of Ganshi's farms. And he and the cops, they seize all of the opium. They take the farmer into custody. And Mishra, when he finds out about this, is very much displeased. And he goes to yell at Arjun for disrupting the balance and demands that Arjun release the farmer. And Arjun agrees, but he says he can't hand over the contraband because they've already reported it to headquarters. And Mishra tells him that he is on the wrong path, and then he storms out of the office. And then the records guy comes in and is like, we haven't sent anything to headquarters yet. And Arjun is just like, shh. So he's got stuff. He's just, stuff's happening.
I'm very excited to see what happens.
Stuff's cooking. And then we get a really cute scene with Nanu and Joe at a bookstore. Nanu pretends that he knows more about English books than he actually does, and he mistakes Ayn Rand for a man.
Oh, it's just, it's so sweet and earnest that he just sees her and is like, okay, I'm also going to go and pretend I buy books here. And it's like, oh my God, what a surprise to see you here.
Yeah, it's like, I'm also into English books. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's so, and like The Fountainhead.
I know, what a choice.
I don't, like, English is my first language and I don't want to read that.
No, it's, from what I understand, it's... it's a lot of words and a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
A lot of rants. But later we see Nanu go and scrub the graffiti off of the wall.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet boy. So then Mishra, he sets up a meeting with Nabeed and Sukanto, the guy from the Calcutta gang. And because Jugnu has set two of his goons to tail him, he finds out about this meeting and he and his gang go and crash this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up, they're like, we don't want any trouble, we're just here to talk. And Nabeed is there and he's like, hey, I remember you as a little kid, Jugnu, and you once peed on me. And Jugnu is like, I could still do that if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And Sukanto puts an end to this, and Sukanto says that they need to talk business while he's there. And he's like, listen, I don't think either of you can deliver the goods to me on time, so maybe you two should just work together. But Jugnu's like, no way, not doing that. You made a deal with my dad, now you're going back on it. Like, what are you? You're some kind of shady guy. Those are his exact words. So Sukanto is like, all right, Jugnu, let's take a step outside. Let's take a breather. So they go outside together, and one of Sukanto's men comes with him. And that man just punches Jugnu in the stomach.
Yeah.
And he just falls to the ground.
I kind of feel for him. Because, like, he's such a caricature and, like, a laughingstock, but he really is trying to step up.
Yeah, and I don't really get the sense that his dad did a lot to train him, to, like, really help him. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you look at him compared to Nabeed, and Nabeed is so much more, like, kind of scrappy and, like, and clearly, like, thinking about things a few steps ahead, whereas Jugnu is just, like, reacting to things. And I just have to believe that he was just spoiled as a kid and didn't get taught the way to
That's accurate.
Deal with these things. Yeah. But so Sukanto tells Jugnu that he was going to go easy on him, but now that Jugnu has been acting all smart, he's got to still get the goods delivered by the end of the month, or he will see what this Calcutta gang is capable of.
Yeah.
Now, Arjun decides that, hey, why discriminate between the two towns? I'm going to go conduct a raid on one of the farms in Sherpur, too. And Ramprasad is worried about making enemies of both gangs, but Arjun's like, we can't worry about that. If we worry about making enemies in our line of work, then we won't be able to do our jobs.
Yeah, but still.
Like, but still, yeah.
He seems, from my perspective, to not really be considering the ramifications or repercussions.
The full of potential of his actions, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are some ways in which Arjun reminds me of Ned Stark.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I see, but I mean, Arjun's a lot smarter than Ned Stark, and he's clearly got got other stuff going on, but like, at the surface, you're kind of like, I think you're just trying to do the right thing too hard.
right, and you're gonna lose your head.
It's not gonna end well for you, or anyone in your family.
No.
Tipu and Bunty then decide that they're gonna go to Sherpur and look for Admaram. And they're super slick about this. They tie bandanas around their heads and they just blatantly ask whoever they happen to walk by if they know where Admaram is.
Yeah.
It's not very subtle. Meanwhile, Nabeed's gang, they get upset about the raid that Arjun did at one of their farms, and so they go, they kick up a fuss outside of the police station, but Arjun stands his ground. He refuses to give in when Nabeed offers him money, and so Nabeed and his gang angrily drive off.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Sherpur, Nabeed's gang finds Tipu and Bunty, and they recognize them immediately. And they chase them out of town. It's a foot chase that then leads to a motorcycle chase. It's like 10 guys on 5 bikes chasing Tipu and Bunty just like on their little one bike.
Yeah, I loved this motorcycle chase.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm glad this is happening. I'm glad that it's not really like that high speed.
No. No, it's pretty mellow, but it's also but it's also pretty high stakes.
It is. I mean, well, they're shooting, and then the moment when Tipu just kicks a guy like a bike over.
That's great. That guy's like hitting Bunty with like a belt or something.
Well, I also that made me laugh out loud because Bunty's just like, he's hitting me.
I think like everyone kind of like starts to run out of bullets, so like everyone stops shooting. Nobody successfully like gets off a good shot though. There is one man whose gun explodes in his hand. That's real upsetting. But they're almost back to Gulab Ganj when they simultaneously, Tipu and Bunty run out of bullets and run out of gas. And so they desperately, like, kick their bike.
They should have just gone off the bike.
Just run. I don't... Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
They just, like, scoot across the town line. And their fellow Gulab Ganj boys are just on the other side of this bridge. And they jump up and they start throwing bottles at the Sherpur guys who just, like, turn around and drive off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sunset, and we see Sukanto drive up a mountain to find Arjun waiting for him.
Yes.
And Arjun says, you know, the opium in this district is my responsibility, but it is getting stolen out from under my nose. And Sukanto's like, yeah, man, I get it. You're an honest man, but in my experience, every honest man has a price, and I am willing to pay yours.
Mm-hmm.
But Arjun, he's like, you know, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in whatever Mishra was getting. I'm not interested in being paid for my complacence. But he says he can deliver what Nabeed and Ganshi can't. And then he holds out his hand and Sukanto shakes.
Yeah, like, what?
I know. I love, like, that moment really got me when I watched this the first time. I was like, I was not expecting that.
Well, because I was like, I don't trust his, like, good guy, honest cop routine completely.
Yeah.
So either he has this plan where he's gonna, like, take over the drug industry and then, though, maybe flip it and, like, it was a long con, or he's just, like,
he's
going
just a
rogue.
Dirty cop, yeah. And we don't know at this point. But finally, the last part of this episode is Tipu back at the hospital. He goes in to check on Ganshi, and he sees Ganshi's foot twitch.
Yes.
And that's the end. That is the end of the first half of Guns and Gulabs.
Yeah. We got a lot going.
We do have a lot going. It's so good. I think the one thing that I wanted to say that didn't come up as we were going through it is I really like the way that Raj and DK depict women. You know, I haven't seen everything that they've made, but like they did Stree. And I've seen like maybe one or two of their other movies, and there don't tend to be a lot of female characters in their work, but the ones who we do see are fully formed. They're complex. Yep. They're not stereotypes. And,
right,
like,
they have agency.
Yeah, and, like, even Arjun's wife, who we see for, like, just a handful of scenes, she has so much depth.
Yeah, and she has, like, what is it? Like, what kind of business?
She's got
she
a
has skincare
her own business.
Business.
Yeah. She's kind of got her own stuff going on. I commend them for doing that. And I did see that they did have a female writing assistant on this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have to assume that means that they like to employ women.
Yeah.
And they, you know, like to have those women contribute to the storytelling so that their female characters are like meaningful characters, which is great.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. I'm like, what's going to happen with Arjun? What's going to happen with Tipu and Leika? Because Leika's whole thing, I'm like, clearly we're picking up on the fact that she finds Tipu's new career path very intriguing. But I keep waiting for her to somehow be involved with all of this. At the time at the hospital, I was like, oh my god, we're going to learn that her dad is, like, an important person, like, in the opium trade or something. And I was like, that's just a guy, though. I'm excited to see what happens with our young teens.
The young lovers.
Yeah, and the development of their relationship.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'm also excited for you to experience all of these things. I can't wait to talk about the second half with you next week.
It's going to be great.
It is going to be great.
So, yeah, we are not doing any research this week because we had enough going.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any Bollywood news?
I do have some Bollywood news.
Okay.
And this is all stuff that I think we can be excited about, even though we're recording this way in advance of it.
So this is like many weeks
old news at this point. But I wanted to make sure that you saw two baby-related announcements that happened this week.
Oh my God, I did. So okay. I did see that Anushka had her second baby. Which is really exciting.
Yeah, her baby boy with her cricket player husband. Congratulations to them.
Oh, so cute.
So that's super exciting.
It is.
And so then I take it you did not hear the other piece of baby-related news.
I don't know.
Which is that Varun's wife is pregnant. They are expecting their first child.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I know. They posted a really beautiful picture. He's, like, on his knees, like, holding her belly, and then their dog is just hanging in the background.
He loves the dog.
It's very, very cute. Yeah.
That's really, really sweet. Oh.
Yeah.
I love love.
I have a story that I've been wanting to tell you. So I recently watched a Netflix series called Chuna. Which was okay. It wasn't my favorite thing I've ever seen, but it was fun. But it was starring a really, really handsome man.
That shocked you?
It shocked me just how handsome he was and that I had never really seen him in anything before. This actor's name is Ashim Gulati.
Okay.
So I, like, as you do, immediately, like, sought him out, looked for all of the rest of the stuff that I could watch that he's in. And I then discovered that there is a series that is called Taj, Divided by Blood.
Okay.
This series...
Sounds like it could be violent.
It is violent. It's about the Mughal Empire.
Okay.
And it's about Akbar. It's about... yeah. Him as an older man, and he is actually played by Nasiruddin Shah. Do you remember who that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I love him so much.
He's playing Akbar, and Akbar's got these three sons, and this guy, Ashim Gulati, is like the oldest son. But then Akbar is like, the oldest son is not going to inherit the throne. It's going to be whoever proves himself worthy. And so, like, Ashim Gulati, like, the oldest son, Salim, is, like, he's, like, super into drugs and ladies.
Yeah.
And then the middle son is, like, really violent and just, like, kind of flies off the handle. And then the youngest son is, like, super into Allah and is, like, religion and and spiritual things. And he's also gay. It's great.
Kind of like Godfather.
It's very like Game of Thrones-y. Because it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know who's going to live or die. Anyone could die at any moment.
That sounds great.
I'm enjoying it so much. I have had to use my VPN to watch it. But if there were ever a time where you wanted to... And there are two seasons of it. So I'm only like halfway through the first season.
Okay. I'll put that on the back burner, because that sounds like it's right up my alley.
It really is, and I think I really want to, like, I want to watch Jodha Akbar, and then I want to watch this.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Because maybe not talk about it for the pod. We could, but it's like, long, and there's a lot of it, but, like...
Okay, then we could just not do that for the pod, but we'll do it for ourselves.
It's great, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I don't have any Bollywood news. So, pluggables. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do there. And consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can leave a rating. You can leave a review. We appreciate all of that. And most importantly, we appreciate you listening. So thank you.
We really do. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add our favorite song and dance numbers from our movies that have song and dance numbers to those playlists. Mm-hmm. And we link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
So obviously we're watching the part Gods 2 next week, yep. Which is going to be great. And we've already said super excited for you to see where this journey takes us.
Mm-hmm. So specifically, yeah, this will be episodes 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming some people I like might die, but we'll see.
Some people you don't like might also die, so.
That is true. I then just think about Shrek, where it's like, some of you may die, but that's a risk I'm willing to take.
You know what's funny is I thought about that too, and I was like, what is that from?
No, it's Shrek.
It's Shrek, yeah. It's John Lithgow.
Yeah. We reference Shrek like a lot.
It has come up about. More than I would have thought it would, yeah.
But anyway, on that note, watch, enjoy, and remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood. Mm-hmm. And Foreigner. And
Bryan Adams. Add those to the playlist, yeah.
Yeah.